Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The crypto community is pretty sensitive. It's One More Thing.
Armstrong and Getty.
One More Thing.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's me, it's your friend, your pal, your buddy, Positive Sean here, with another edition of the One More Thing podcast, where it's just you and me all hanging out. That's right, just having a good time here, getting ready to head into the weekend. Wanted to touch a little bit about, we discussed some of this on the show this week, and I've really been investing a lot of my time trying to learn more about kind of the crypto world in general and just kind of splash around with that. You've heard me talk a little bit about the various NFTs that I'm kind of splashing around with, the NBA Top Shots, which is like the digital basketball cards. You've even heard me talk about the Bored Ape Yacht Club on the show before as well. There's a couple other projects I have my eyes on. Actually, there's maybe one other one that I might dabble in. But I'm not really trying to do too much in crypto beyond largely acquiring more of it, just kind of increasing the percentage of my investing portfolio that is exposed to crypto. I even trimmed some of my weeds from my stock portfolio, some of my underperformers, rotated those into some crypto assets. But I wanted to talk about just one of the kind of the bigger headlines that came out this week, and that was the old Elon Musk tweeting about Tesla not taking Bitcoin anymore. Because I think there's some more interesting levels to this story than you catch just by headline surfing. So Elon, very much in the overlap of people into crypto, or rather the Venn diagram of people into crypto and people into Elon Musk, very, very close to a full circle. Elon, obviously one of the first big companies to accept it as payment, et cetera, et cetera. Even one of the first big companies a couple months ago to announce, we as a company, Tesla, we have bought a bunch of Bitcoin. And that began a bit of a Bitcoin bull run. Not too long after that, it turned out that Elon sold some of his Bitcoin for a hefty profit. And then because he bought those Bitcoins as part of a business maneuver, the profits from selling said cryptocurrencies, he was then able to fold into his Tesla earnings reports as helping make it a profitable quarter when some other things may have hindered that with, you know, production, COVID, et cetera, et cetera. Fast forward past that to where, so you got the first two plots on the chart, right? You got Elon saying, we are going to not only accept Bitcoin, but we as a company, we are investing in it. We are buying it. Big announcement for that. Sold, did not announce the sell. That was only released or revealed later when the financial Tesla quarterly reports were released. And then after that, he now says, I'll read his full statement. He tweeted this out. Tesla has suspended vehicle purchases using Bitcoin. We are concerned about rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining and transactions, especially coal, which has the worst emissions of any fuel. Cryptocurrency is a good idea on many levels, and we believe it has a promising future, but this cannot come at great cost to the environment. Tesla will not be selling any Bitcoin. Keep in mind, they sold some just several weeks ago, and we intend to use it for transactions as soon as mining transitions to more sustainable energy. We are also looking at other cryptocurrencies that use less than 1% of Bitcoin's energy per transaction cost. So, seems almost kind of like a little blatant pump and dump thing there done by Tesla and Elon on that. I know some of the crypto people are very much into that tinfoil hat conspiracy that this is nothing other than something that deserves to be investigated. I don't know. I'm just brand new into the space. It seems like, what the intent and the degree of shadiness that was behind that, I do not know. I kind of read this more as, before Elon was kind of the crown prince of Dogecoin and cryptocurrencies, he was the crown prince of renewable energies. And I feel like he is either has something in the works or will soon announce something in the works on par with. And so we are introducing we are now working on, he probably doesn't have it solved yet. But I feel like this could be a new project for him. And he's using this as kind of the headline grabber catalyst thing for it. Also, looking into other cryptocurrencies that use less than 1% of Bitcoin's energy per transaction cost. I can see that being a thing as well. There's a lot of other coins out there. Actually, there are many, many coins out there, but not all coins are equal. I can't get too into the weeds with what are the differences between some of the cryptocurrencies. But I will say, just big picture, there tend to be two different types of cryptocurrencies. There are proof of work cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin, and those are the ones that we most commonly think of. When you hear people describe cryptocurrencies are, you're solving very complex math equations, yada yada yada. You get Bitcoin. The very complex math equations are the proof of work aspect of that. So if your verification on the blockchain is via proof of work, it is a very high likelihood you have a higher energy per transaction cost than something that is the other type of verification method, and that is proof of stake. And I won't get into really describing that too much here. You can do your own research on that. But a lot of these things, when you try to figure out something in the cryptocurrency world, it turns out, actually, I need to understand seven more things to fully understand what the one thing that seemed simple at the time. So I'm trying to keep this at a somewhat surface level and not confused with too much randomness in there. But that tweet from Elon has caused a bit of a sell-off in the crypto space. And one thing that I have certainly discovered in my very short time messing around with crypto is that they are very sensitive. They being the crypto community, to any sort of downward momentum. I mean, they operate in the this thing should only go in one direction, up only, things only go up. And so it caused like 15 to 10%, probably 10 to 15% is the proper way to say that range. A drop depending on what time you looked in Bitcoin, and kind of had some ripples throughout the other cryptocurrencies as well. But I think that there is certainly the energy. Let me backtrack one step here. The common case that energy is, or that cryptocurrencies are bad for the environment, are simply based off the fact that the proof of work style cryptocurrencies use a lot of energy, and things that use a lot of energy are bad for the environment, right? So, but this isn't a crypto issue. It's a more complex issue for demand and access to cheap renewable energy. Dirty energy, so to speak, isn't a problem for crypto to solve. It's a problem for energy to solve. Crypto miners are primarily concerned with the conversion cost of power to hash rate. Hash rate's kind of what they term like the mining costs of the computers that are doing this. And they'll tackle this in their own ways by demanding and adopting more efficient mining technology and seeking more affordable sources of energy. And this is how all power consumers will think if given the opportunity to plan long term. This is one of the reasons why I can run my PC on a 650 watt supply and double the performance over a machine that I ran 6 years ago, which needed a 1200 watt supply. Realistically speaking, if you want to solve for the environmental impacts of computing, you don't attack computing, you attack power. And I think that is the perspective by which Elon is kind of approaching this. You know, he is Mr. Solar Panel, Mr. Batteries, so much so in batteries. What if I put batteries in cars and make the first, you know, kind of somewhat successful electric car on the planet? So I am very interested to see how it goes from here. I did throw some darts, or I threw a dart at one cryptocurrency that is one of the lower energy uses one, on the off chance that it might be the thing that Elon decides to do next. So who knows if that $200 turns into $200,000 at some point? Well, you'll know why you never heard from me again. Let's see. Was there any other crypto stuff that I wanted to address? I mean, there was the funny thing that happened with Dogecoin, but I think that's probably too deep in the weeds for people who are not trying to obsess over this stuff like I am to really understand. It involves burning of wallets and various people that you probably have no idea who are, because I just learned about them, you know, within the last 36 hours or so. I think that's kind of the cryptocurrency roundup. I don't know. Some people have asked me on the Twitter what I use to buy cryptocurrencies. I only use Coinbase. I like the fact that protects me from some of the more really early ones, the kind of the meme coins, right? Like you can't even buy Dogecoin, for instance, on Coinbase. So I like the fact that it kind of protects me from myself of, chasing and FOMOing into various fractional of a penny coins after they've run up to a significant degree. I do all my purchasing on that. I have since gotten another crypto wallet that I've used to buy some NFTs. Actually, I've only bought the one NFT, just the one Bored Ape Yacht Club through the wallet. I guess I own other NFTs with the Top Shots. But I used MetaMask for that. If you're interested in that, Google MetaMask. That's what I've used. The other people I trust seem to trust this one as well. As far as my crypto exposure, I'll just tell you, just so you know, I'm not trying to pump and dump the things that I have. I am not a financial advisor. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm only telling you what I have done. I have exposure to Bitcoin and Ethereum. I have weekly purchases set up for both of those. Currently, the ratio is about 2.5 times as much Ethereum as Bitcoin on the weekly exposures. That's my current investing strategy with crypto on a large basis. Every now and then, I'll throw another couple hundred bucks here and there should I have anything burning a hole in my pocket. The silly one that I threw a dart at for just yesterday, the $200 one, Cardano, that I know very little about other than its coin name ADA, is a reference to a 19th century mathematician, Ada Lovelace, which for some reason I feel makes it more likely that Elon Musk will pick that one as an eventual Tesla thing. But I have no idea. I'm just guessing. I do not know anything that I'm doing. I am engaging in these things as a forced function to learn about them. And I'm fully prepared to get my hand burnt on the stove multiple times as I tread through these waters. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this edition of the One More Thing podcast. And you know the drill. You know what to do at this time. Until next time, have a good time.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.